The Point Radio.
No April Fool's joke here. Look who's back. Hey, it's Mike Robin. Just like us, you've been binging on Daredevil, right? Well, now it's time to stop binging and start talking to the guy behind the costume. Charlie Cox tells us exactly what it was like to do season two and where things are going from here. Plus, Rogue is back for a new season of episodes on DirecTV. And guess who's part of the cast? You'll meet her coming up. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Daredevil is back for what a lot of fans are saying is one of the best superhero series ever. So how do things compare to the first season? We talked to Daredevil himself, Charlie Cox.
Season one was season one of our show was, I mean, now that it's out and now you've seen Jessica, you know, and people have kind of got used to it, you know, it's kind of suits the source material really, really well. So it's, but at the time there was a lot of conversations about it. It was a real concern, you know, when Wilson Fisk like decapitates a guy. Marvel have never done that before. That was a big. I remember hearing conversations about like we'll shoot it, but we can't guarantee it's going to be in the show. You know what I mean? And so, you know, season one was hardcore, man. In many ways, I think this season we're certainly in the same ballpark. There's a couple of scenes which were as hard to shoot as they will be to watch. Like there was one in particular, which in episode three, where just the location, I was like, I can't even like look at what's going on right now. It's like ISIS out there. It was like a nightmare. But there's some really cool stuff coming up.
Charlie gives a lot of credit to the writers too.
I think they've done a really good. The writers have done a fantastic job this year because it's much, much harder. Second season is much, much harder, and there's so many things you get in the first year that we don't get the second year. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to suddenly be violent for the sake of being violent, you know. And they've trod that line really, really, really well, I think. So far.
The addition of Elektra adds a new dynamic to the series this season, one that Charlie thinks will have the fans divided.
What's going to interest me the most is what camp. I think it's going to divide people. The Matt and Elektra, the Matt Karen stuff, is all very blurred. And I think it's going to really divide people. It's already dividing people on set. You know, there's always people, like some of the crew members who are like, oh, I really want you guys at this. And Matt and Elektra, as we'll see, met and were a part of each other's lives at a very particular time in their lives. And that love, that experience, love, hate, that intensity, is a bond that is that most people can identify with. You know, the first love, the first person, the person you meet that first seems to understand you in a way that no one did, not even your parents, you know. And that is a bond that is very, very hard to break and also not always very, very helpful later on in life, you know. And so seeing Matt have to relive that and go through that and experience that and sometimes make some same mistakes over and over again is for me very human. And what I've loved about it is, again, the thing I love about the show right from the start when I read it was I love seeing a human superhero, you know, really human superhero, someone who bleeds literally, metaphorically. And you know, we're gonna have to see Matt, you know, really disappoint himself and others again.
All right, let's be honest. There's so much superhero material out there. Is the genre starting to get worn?
Well, I don't think we have. And the reason I don't think we have is because I don't think the reason I'm not sure I agree with that statement is that the Western is a genre. Whereas superhero movies aren't, and shows aren't genres, they're all different in that way. You know, I mean, you look at the Winter Soldier. I mean, that's a war film. You know what I mean? Daredevil was a crime drama. Look at the difference between, you know, the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was like unlike any superhero show film I've ever seen in my life, and it was more like a kind of quirky, you know, rom-com than it was I loved it. So I don't know, maybe people are, maybe there is such a thing in this as too much of a good thing, but as long as they keep tonally reinventing themselves, then who's to say they can't go on for a lot longer?
So who actually is Daredevil? Is he Matt Murdock wearing a mask, or is it exactly the opposite of that?
It's a really good question, actually. It's a question that we're dealing with at the moment in the story. I think it's more of an alter ego than he realizes it is. I don't think Matt thinks that there's any difference between Matt Murdock and Daredevil. I think he thinks he's one and the same person, and his values are the same. I don't think that that's as true as he would like it to be. And I think he unwillingly and unconsciously assumes a role when he puts on that costume that is not necessarily someone that he would always agree with as Matt Murdock and admire as Matt Murdock. And the question is, you know, how willing and ready and able is he to acknowledge that and accept it?
Time to start binging episodes of Daredevil Season 2 waiting for you right now, only on Netflix. Superman, Batman beats out Marvel in the graphic novel race. That's just part of what's going on in pop culture. Looks like the springtime calendar is filling up even faster than we thought. First, there's Free Comic Book Day. Then that little Captain America movie that'll be in theaters. And now Marvel has announced a set of launch parties for the comic book sequel to Civil War that'll take place over the summer. Civil War 2 launches on June the 1st, and they're offering a special party kit to retailers who'd like to participate. There'll be special sketch variant covers and even a build-your-own Captain Marvel figure as well offered to stores who are part of the party program. If you have a retailer who'd like to participate, have them get in touch soon and check around on the Marvel website for retailers who are participating in your area. If you find yourself being drawn to Periscope more and more, well, you're not alone. After 1 year of existence, Periscope has announced that they've had over 200 million broadcasts over the past 12 months. That number has doubled, by the way, since January when they were added to be part of Twitter. Right now, they have the field to themselves. However, Facebook is dramatically upping their live video efforts, and YouTube is reported to be developing a live streaming tool that'll debut later this year. The TV Land Icon Awards will this year celebrate the work of Norman Lear and pop culture icon John Stamos in a special ceremony that takes place on April the 10th. One interesting thing will be the addition of the Beach Boys to the ceremony. Their connection with Stamos will be how that all works out. And they'll perform a melody of their hit songs as well when the ceremony airs on TV Land on April 17th. We're still time-shifting our TV in a big way, and now the ratings are reflecting that as well. 10 shows who got a big boost when it was considered just how many people watched them up to a week after their original broadcast included things like Shades of Blue, Gotham, Lucifer, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the top three shows that have the most time shifting are How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy, and Big Bang Theory on CBS. Besides winning at the box office, Batman vs. Superman also gave DC a win on the chart that shows exactly which graphic novels are selling the best in bookstores. The title was the number one best-selling graphic novel for the month of March. In the top five, by the way, there were no Marvel books at all. At number five was Plants vs. Zombies, Volume 4 from Dark Horse. The Killing Joke Deluxe Edition came in at number four. At number three, The Walking Dead Compendium, Volume 3. At number two, Volume 5 of One Punch Man from Viz Media. And like we said, Batman vs. Superman, The Greatest Battles was the best-selling graphic novel in bookstores in March. Matt Wagner is coming back to The Shadow to do a new series called The Death of Margot Lane, which will debut in stores in a couple of months. There'll be a couple of variant covers as well, and a black and white variant, too, to the first issue. Wagner both writes and draws the six-issue series, which debuts in comic stores on June 1st. Comedy Central has pulled the plug on Moonlight City. There won't be a second season of the show. It starred Rob Lowe and Elizabeth Banks, among others. However, on the positive side, they announced 9 new series that they've greenlit for the near future, including 7 Minutes in Purgatory, Animal Lols, Bert's Dream, Deadliest Chef, and, of course, Untitled Late Night series as well, all of which will be debuting later in the year on Comedy Central. Meanwhile, down the dial, like they say in TV, Cartoon Network has given a 5th season order to both Steven Universe and Uncle Grandpa. The Point! The Point! The hit crime drama Rogue is back for another season on the AT&T Audience Network. And I talked to series star Cole Hauser about what fans can expect for this run of episodes.
Coming out of season three, obviously these are new episodes. But, he's coming out of the darkness and into the light. He starts his own company, and seemingly everything's going very well. And, gets hired to find this woman, Nia Rockland, played by Ashley Green. And soon after that, he's chasing her down a rabbit hole. And, he toes the line, with obviously Richard Schiff and Marty Stein and Derek Luke's character as well, between life and death, and I think the hardcore Rogue audiences are going to love, where Ethan is and how he's got to ping-pong between all these people.
New to the cast this season is Ashley Green.
I come in as Nia, and, she comes in seemingly as a victim who's being chased, and then kind of a couple episodes in, kind of flips the script, and you question whether she is a victim or kind of manipulative murderer. I think brings the audience something they haven't seen before, in the sense that she kind of creates this relationship with Ethan that, one, she makes sure he cannot get out of, because he has to help her, because she involves him in all of the trouble that she's in. But also there's, I feel like it's odd to say, but there's like kind of kindred spirit vibe going on between Ethan and Nia, and even though they don't necessarily trust each other and there's this cat and mouse game, there is something that does bring them together and that they do really on. So she brings in kind of this very dangerous element.
Ashley's no stranger to action. You remember her, of course, from Twilight. And I asked her what drew her to this role.
Definitely the action, I think, is fun. And me as a character that I think Matthew Park Hill did a really great job in creating and writing. He writes very, very smart characters, and sometimes that's hard to find for women. So I think that's the first thing that drew me in. And then, it's something that I've never, ever, ever done before. And it's a big departure from anything I've done.
So Rogue is a series that's evolved in a number of different ways over four seasons. And I asked Cole if that's what he thinks has made this series last.
It's morphed in so many different ways, and a lot has to do with, obviously, Bart Peters and Chris Long and Matthew Parker, and allowing this character to really take risks. Season four is just another risk that Ethan takes, and I think what draws in the hardcore world audience is that this guy has so many colors, and they put him in these situations, and it's how he's going to get out. And this year is no different. It's pretty amazing what he does, and obviously you'll see shortly coming out.
Ashley told me that as far as a dream role goes, she loves to be a superhero.
I feel like it's a great mix, again, between kind of the action-packed stuff and still having a moral compass and helping people. It sounds very silly, but I think that would be really fun. But I feel like, I've not that I don't want to continue, but I feel like I've really gotten to do a lot of things that would be on that team.
Cole's also gotten a lot of attention as a director, especially with his project from last year called Westies. And I asked him if there was more of that coming down the road.
I mean, right now, my focus is, on this show, and there's something in 2017 that's coming out. It's not the Westies. I mean, that's down the road a little bit further, but, we're working with DirecTV and we're getting into a very cool project together.
Cole Hauser, along with Ashley Green, in new episodes of Rogue, exclusively on the AT&T Audience Network, and it's available only on DirecTV. That's it for now, but we're back on track, and when we do come back, we're bringing Rey Mysterio, WCW and WWE superstar, talks about his love for the business and for comic books, too. You can find us on great websites like ComicMix.com, PopCultureUpload.com, and DirectTVNews.com as well. On Facebook, we're The Point Radio, and on Twitter, we're PC Upload. Look for us there. See you right back here in a few days.
GetThePointRadio.com.